Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special spinoff of Sup. I first just have to say, like, I was craving talking about this show. You guys definitely watch it. I'm somewhat of a newcomer to it, but I needed a space and an outlet to talk about Summer House, talk to Summer House viewers about Summer House. So without further ado, welcome to Summer House Hive. Today with me, I have an incredibly special guest. I'm so excited, and it really, like, the synergy and the timing could not be better given all the, like, Brit drama that's happened in the past 24 hours. Please welcome to the stage, Joe Gunn.
Hello, Lara. I can't believe I'm on SUP. This is a DCT, a dream come true. I'm a huge fan. You know this. And really happy to be here. Really excited to chat with you about Summer House.
I'm so excited to have you. I think you're the funniest person on both Twitter and Instagram. You're videos and your memes have inspired me for years, and now your coverage of Danielle Staub watching Real Housewives of New Jersey and then recapping her own experience watching Real Housewives of New Jersey is Pulitzer level, Pulitzer Prize level content. So thank you for being here, honestly.
I'm screaming. First of all, thank you for those compliments. I don't know what to say to that. But yeah, isn't she just endlessly fascinating? I mean, people throw around the gift that keeps on giving a lot, but Danielle Staub truly is. And just, I don't know who gave her this idea of filming herself watching the show, but it's just chef's kiss. And I don't know, I feel like if I wasn't going to do it, someone was going to do it. I just watch it back each week and I find these bits and put it together. And I'm so glad that people are starting to, the momentum is starting to build up and people are seeing what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I mean, you have your finger on the pulse for, like, pop culture moments, and especially, like, Bravo-centric Housewives or, like, reality TV moments, and I just, like, appreciate everything you do. I think it's amazing.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you appreciate it.
Before we get into Summer House, I need to talk about the Harry and Meghan Oprah interview. Did you get to watch this? Or did they air it in the UK? Like, what's going on?
Now I feel like I'm just going to let you down right from the jump because I haven't watched it. I'm sure they've aired it in the UK. I don't find it really interesting. Obviously, I need to form an opinion of this. It's awful what I've seen the snippets about the, let's say it with me, racism that's going on in the royal family and has for centuries. Yeah, not good. I really wish I had watched it now before so I could break it down with you, but I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I didn't even plan on really talking about it, but then I figured I was like, this could be great synergy. But that aside, what's the general feeling about Harry and Meghan in the UK? Like, or do people care about the royals? Like, do you and your friends care about the royals? Or is that like something for older people to care about? Like, what's going on?
Probably the latter. Me and my friends don't care about the royals. I mean, I'm happy for them. I guess my feeling is that I'm happy for Harry and Meghan for getting out. You know, it seemed just awful. She was having a horrible time. Again, I am going to actually, I do want to sit down and watch this because I love Oprah. I'm a big Oprah fan, actually. And it would be
Oprah. And I think you would get some really good like reaction. Like I could, when I was watching it too, I was thinking like in a Joe Gunn meme type of vibe, like what would he do with her being like, she's like, what? A lot of the time. You'll see. So I'm excited to see if you make any content out of this.
All right, let's see what I can rustle up.
But yeah, so like young people don't really care about like royal drama. I just wonder what purpose they truly serve and like who cares about them, because they seem, as like an avid Daily Mail head, like obviously they're obsessed with the royal family, but I've never really gotten it or gotten what they do exactly.
So here's the thing. I feel like the Daily Mail readers in the States are different to the Daily Mail readers in the UK. When you say the Daily Mail, a Daily Mail reader in the UK, it is generally an older person, very right wing, let's say it, racist, homophobic, you know, they're just old.
Like that's where they get their news. That's like their version of like the New York Times or something like that.
I guess.
Or
yeah,
like
I mean,
a news source.
Not the New
like
York.
Like a Fox News type of thing.
Yeah. So it's okay. The conservative, Tory propaganda. And yeah, Daily Mail readers would be anti-Meghan but pro the royal family for sure. But yeah, I guess young people, I mean, millennials, whatever, people my age, I'm sure you do have some royalists. I don't know why, but you know, each to their own. I mean, I love Bravo, some people don't. You know, so I don't know what when you said what purpose does the royal family serve, again, that's debatable. I don't know. I'm sure they do a lot of great charity work. No, they do great charity work. And yeah, but no, I'm completely unqualified to talk about the royal family. So apologies that my takes are not even lukewarm. They're just flaccid takes.
Well, now you're kicked off the podcast. Great work, Joe.
And can I just say dessert?
No, it's all good. You've answered a lot of questions by not knowing. You've cleared up a lot for me, actually, which is like my suspicion is confirmed. And I'm glad that you clarified the US versus UK, because I'm definitely not like a conservative reader of the Daily Mail. I mostly read just the sidebar of the Daily Mail for like US celebrity stuff.
Sure.
And then read like cunty articles they write about whatever, because I do appreciate like how rude, like it's like that British type of rudeness that's like polite, but really like searingly rude underneath it all. So I like that writing style. We'll move on to bigger and better things and more American things, namely a house in the Hamptons where a bunch of friends are going to live for 6 weeks.
Yes.
When did you start watching Summer House? Were you in from the jump or were you a late bloomer? What was your journey?
I mean, take it for what it is. I'm a day one. I was in from the from the Vanderpump Rules, you know, segue into it, where we were all, you know, Beverly Hills Housewives mm-hmm. style tricked into watching it. And yeah, I'm right there from in the hot tub with Kyle and Stassi, you know, with the Steve Jobs turtleneck in the hot tub and the Workers twins. And I don't know if any of these names mean anything to you, because I'm interested, what did you give it a go when it first came on?
I was really resentful of like them trying to trick us into watching it. And I didn't. I really was so anti Summer House for so long. And people told me all the time to like, I need to get into it. So good. And I just refused. And then something shifted last year. And I started watching season three because I didn't like the Workus twins. And like, I was really on the fence about Lindsay and I just like didn't get it. And then I started when Paige and Hannah got into the house, and then I was hooked. And then I caught up with all of season three and then watched season four in like real time.
I feel like that's a similar journey to a lot of people actually. In the Summer House fandom, it is known that season three was a turning point. They did the shake up with the cast. Kick people out, added people in, and it's, people often say it's a completely different show to what it was in seasons mm-hmm. 1 and 2. So yeah, do you like it?
I love it. I think it's like, it's true escapist entertainment. Like I like that it's not as dark as Vanderpump Rules, because you really can only have one like obelisk of darkness in the Bravo mix, and Vanderpump Rules has like, they do so much to really hold the reins on that. And so Summer House to me feels like fun. There's drama, but it's not like life or death style drama. It seems like the people present like they have their shit together somewhat, or they have some sort of like career ambitions, or they're hustling hard to play on the weekends. And even if that's a lie, I buy it. And I agree to buy into the lie. And so to me, it feels very like fun and light and juicy. So I like it for that.
I agree with everything you said. And it's so funny, the work interstitials. It's just... Just say something about data. There's one point where, I mean, we'll get to it, but Carl is on the phone. Hey, Mario, how are we doing? And this guy just shouts at him down the phone. Yeah, the boys at like 7:30.
Yeah, we're ready to go. We're ready to rock and roll. Mario was too lit in that moment.
I want more of Mario.
Me too. I need to know, like, he's like at least 4 Adderall deep. Oh, like at 9 a.m. just ready to fucking rock
on a Friday as well.
So the show opens up and everyone has had enough of quarantine, and they're kind of recapping their COVID experiences, and we find out like Kyle and Amanda have spent a lot of time together. They've had like a rough go of it, but have come out stronger. Carl reveals that he had COVID, but he didn't realize it until he tested positive for the antibodies, because he just thought he was in like a perma hangover. Carl's alcoholism, I'm glad that he's like starting to address it, because it does seem like he has a pretty bad drinking problem.
Yeah. He explains his rock bottom later on, which is, I don't buy it. I don't buy that his rock bottom was turning up to a dinner with his friends and falling asleep at the table. I feel like that's a tame, very tame story. Something else happened that night, you know?
Yeah, that's like a little too, that seems very like run-of-the-mill behavior for him. Yeah. Like not out of the norm of what we saw in previous seasons.
But to not know that you had the coronavirus, it's, yeah, he must be in Kristen Doty level hangover permanently, and just to not even hit, you know, I can't imagine.
Yeah, like how much are you drinking to be like, I've been hungover for 2 days before, and that was like horrible, and also a time when I really decided to start reevaluating my own drinking. But a hangover that goes like beyond 2 days, and for you to not think that that could be some other sort of sickness or even part of a pandemic that has taken over the globe at large, like you must be drinking so often and so much that it's like, what? I don't get it. I love just being like, I'm hungover, and that's just the deal, I guess.
And we get his hungover selfie where it's, he's got the coronavirus. It's not a hangover.
This bubble is truly also the dream to me. And I feel like right off the bat, Summer House is doing what it does so well, which is like, I'm like, I would have loved to have a house in the Hamptons with like a handful of my closest friends just to live for 6 weeks and like make oven pizzas, play Pictionary, and just like swim.
It's a great gig on the face of it. But I don't know. Can we talk about the house? I just have a theory about the house.
Yeah, tell me everything you think.
And it's kind of a little, just go with me. I think the house was built by the devil because it's very chaotic. Okay, the kitchen is upstairs. Another chaotic thing is it's so steep. There's so many steps you have to climb up to get to the actual house, to get to the front door. And that's wild to me. But I think it's the reason I've got this theory is because I recently watched a really bad film called You Should Have Left with Amanda Seyfried and Footloose, Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, yeah. I haven't seen it. Do I need to watch it? I was slightly intrigued, but then I also was like, this could be a flop.
Total flop. I actually, it's one of those films that I regretted watching, you know? But it's essentially, spoiler alert for people who want to go and watch this film, but it's essentially about a house in Wales, UK, that the devil built, and it's had many reincarnations. So I'm just going to read you a bit from the synopsis. So in You Should Have Left, the house finds people who are destined for hell due to their sins. The land the house is built on used to be the location of a tower built by the devil himself to trap souls before it was destroyed by God. Ever since, houses have continued to populate that land and draw in vacationers, some of whom never leave. The devil lures in these people with extreme guilt and keeps them prisoners to claim their souls for hell. So, it's got a similar aesthetic to the Summer House. And okay. I just feel like the location scouts knew exactly what they were doing by choosing this house that is just designed. To me, the kitchen being upstairs is really unsettling. And
yeah.
I don't know what that's about. Do you agree?
I agree. And I still haven't wrapped my head around what the layout of the house truly is. And you're right. It's like, okay, so the kitchen is the top floor and that's also where Kyle and Amanda's room is, like the master bedroom and kitchen. Yep. Then on the middle floor, you walk into a huge dining area, which also feels chaotic. Like it's not an entrance, but it's just like a long dining table, which is also very satanic. And then below is like Paige and Hannah's room.
With a sauna.
And then it's with a sauna and it's kind of basement. Like it seems like it's underground or something like that. Yeah, it is the house the devil built. And there's lots of guilt. There's lots of guilt going on.
Thank you. So I'm thinking, is this in the same universe? Possibly.
I think you're really onto something. Yeah. And there are just like so many steps. And Carl almost fell down the stairs once.
Yes.
And also remember when Lindsay was looking around, she's like, this is a house that's like used for a lot of parties, but I've actually never been inside. That's also a key.
Yeah. Why hasn't she been inside yet? It's because maybe she's not ready. She hasn't done the thing that needs to get her into the...
She hasn't been called to the devil's lair yet. She's not been summoned.
But just when the groceries arrived and they had to haul them upstairs and... Yeah, Carl nearly fell down. I mean, he could have died. Anyway, Paige loves the energy, though. Which tracks.
Paige loves it there. And I think her and Hannah's room, I would either want that one or I would want Kyle and Amanda's room.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, everyone will want the primary. I'm not sure how politically correct master is to say these days, but the biggest room in the house, you know, the main room, everyone
the biggest
would want
room,
that.
Yeah.
And I think they were kind of justified because they had moved their office there and they needed an office space.
But... Oh, true. Yeah. And like, I'm always having a chip on my shoulder against like engaged couples getting precedence. Oh, like, why, just because you're like engaged or like married, you then automatically get the biggest bedroom? That to me is like, we should abolish that.
Yeah, it's true. You've got a point.
Like, couples privilege, like, get over it. Just take another room. I get their office set up. That wasn't taking that into account, so I'll give them the pass on that. But I'm out here just fighting for no more couples privilege.
I'm fighting right there with you.
Do you think Kyle and Amanda belong together? How do you feel about their partnership?
So they had a tough quarantine, as it transpires all these couples did. You know, we haven't even got to... to Paige and Perry yet. So let me see. Commander, I've called them in my notes. So Amanda explains they basically nearly broke up in quarantine. They hit their lowest of lows. And it was got to the point, she says, are we going to walk away or are we going to fix this? And we're stronger than we've ever been. I don't know. There's something about someone saying that we're stronger than we've ever been that I just don't believe them. And I do think that because they've built this business now, a really successful business, like this is on the precipice of skinny girl level, you mm-hmm. know, like these products are literally flying off the shelves and the merch was a really great move. And so I feel like it's almost a business, you know, I'm not saying what they have isn't real, but it definitely makes sense for them to stay together just to make all this money and be the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you agree?
There are a lot of stakes now in their relationship, but then I also kind of think back, like they definitely gave me shades of like a Katie and Tom kind of relationship, like to take it back to a place of Vanderpump Rules. Like at times, watching them, I was like, this is so bad for both of them. Like, they really don't need to, like, be doing this. But now, yeah, I guess their relationship is a brand in a lot of ways, or is, like, part of the brand. So, I don't know. I feel like I see them together, like, long term. And I feel like they're one of those couples that they have to go through just, like, the worst periods of hating each other. And they weirdly do come out stronger after it. And I don't know if that... like all couples can function in that way, but I feel like that's like a quintessential part of their relationship is having these like dip periods and then like reemerging from them. Would I want that relationship? Absolutely not. But like, does it work for them? Seemingly yes.
You've got some points. And never forget that you didn't watch season one, but Amanda was originally on the show as Kyle's ex, you know, that would they would be booty calling late at night. I can't believe I just said that. I never say that word. But, you know, they would be texting that she would come over late at night, you know, as the...
yeah.
They can't keep away from each other. But she was definitely like the ex. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, good for them with this business. And I mean, they get... It's not a spoiler because they show it in the preview. They get married on the show, apparently officiated by mm-hmm. Carl. So they're in
romance. And that's honestly like the best decision because I feel like something like... I feel like the wedding and the engagement and stuff like was a pressure point for their relationship, if I'm remembering correctly from like past seasons, that like if you can just eliminate that stress factor and just get married and call it a day casually, then all the better.
Yeah.
Way less to worry about. Yeah. Let's talk about Steven and Lindsay, because I'm not totally caught up yet on this season, but I know just from like Twitter that shit goes down with them. But I'm obsessed with Lindsay. I think she's like the best worst person to watch on TV. Like she's chaotic, she's reactive, she's like perfect reality television. And I don't know if she and Steven are gonna make it.
I'm just keep watching. I mean, You know, I am so glad that you are a Lindsay stan, because I kind of knew it.
Huge Lindsay head. Yeah.
She, I'm a hubcap, as as my friend Dan coined the term. He also coined.
Oh my God, that's genius.
He also coined the term Batula hoop for Amanda Batula.
So. Oh my God. Batula hoops, we gather. Hubcaps, we ride. Yes. Okay. I'm a hubcap through and through.
She is a star. And I don't know. She's an OG, been there since day one. And yes, yeah, so watchable. I love her voice. I love her mannerisms. I love how petty she is. But I'm also kind of ride or die for her. Like, I'm definitely on Lindsay's side, and we'll get to it, the Lindsay Hannah of it all. But so with Lindsay and Stravi, as they call him, she can't believe they made it out of this quarantine and that he's still coming to the house with her. So Lindsay says, I light the fire under Stephen's ass and he picks me out of the ceiling fan. Can you make head nor tail of what that meant?
No. That sounded violent to me. It sounded bloody. And it sounded, if someone needs to pick you out of the ceiling fan, I think maybe you need to do something to where you don't end up in the ceiling fan in the first place.
I guess it's like, she probably wanted to link it to the analogy of, you know, the shit hit the fan and she's the firecracker and it's all going off and he grounds her. I don't know. But
yeah, he does seem like a grounding energy to her. Like, he does have, he manages to keep it like extremely even keeled. I think I've watched like the first three episodes of the season so far, and like, I'm shocked that he's able to kind of like put up with her as much as he does and maintain some semblance of like patience. But yeah, I just don't know if I see them in the long term.
I don't know. He's definitely not. Let's talk about Lindsay's timeline. Okay. She had a very specific timeline. I don't think she really cares who the guy is. She just wants the ring. Like that, this, she's got his name on the timeline, but it could be any name. It could be sort of like blank, insert name here. So it's like, she wants the ring, the kids, and the pregnant by 36. Mm-hmm. And the ring, the wedding, be pregnant by 36. And yeah, I honestly think that could be anyone. And she's just sort of, he won her over, and you'll get to it. The next episode that you're going to catch up with, she says, well, you got the girl, you know, because you ticked all these boxes, you pushed all these buttons, but she wants to be continuously wooed. And, you know, you'll see the birthday party he throws for her. She completely wasn't impressed by. And yeah.
I saw just a screen grab of her facial expression and I was like, oh no, it's like Lindsay's not happy. Nobody's happy. But I think Lindsay needs like a Mr. Big type of person, or she needs an older man.
I can see that. Yeah, I'd love that for her, actually. But
who would sweep her off her feet and like, and I guess like be like also a big personality. It's hard because it's like she is, I think of her as like a fierce, independent woman. And I think it's hard when you have a personality and like a vibe like hers to really find the person that's going to be able to be your equal or like make you really happy, because you're so big and you give yourself a lot already, and you expect your partner to like match you at that level. And I just think that Stravi, as you call him, and as the people, is that his last name?
I guess so. It's probably Strava something, and they call it Stravi.
Okay. Or maybe, and then everyone calls him Stravi. I like that nickname, but I just think that he's like too mellow.
Yeah. And yeah, so I mean, there is the argument that, you know, it's yin and yang and you need, you know, opposites attract. But yeah, I definitely think she needs someone with more. Yeah, I completely agree with you. An older guy, not necessarily like wealthy, but I would love that for her. Like a Christine Quinn journey where she just meets this billionaire and just travels the world. I'd love that for Lindsay.
Yeah, and gets treated like a queen. And like, I think she probably gets very caught up in romance, and like the initial stages of the relationship are the most exciting for her. And so when that wears off and then you're just with a person and it's not like butterflies and excitement all the time, it starts to feel less desirable.
And I think that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah, I think so too. So I hope that she like adjusts her timeline for life.
She's gonna have to.
Yeah, and just like chills, because honestly in this day and age you can have a baby whenever, like just freeze your eggs and like call it a day. Like it's gonna be okay. You don't need to be like that much pressure on yourself for this. She needs to like not have, like she can't put herself in that box because she already is out, she's living outside of the box anyway. She's not meant to be adhering to any sort of timeline.
You can't put Lindsay Hubbard in a box.
No, all the hubcaps know. Okay, Paige and Perry. I feel like their days are numbered, and I'm actually shocked that they're still together in this season.
So Perry is not spending the summer. And yeah, I have a confession. I think it was either last season. Yeah, I think most of last season I basically didn't watch for whatever reason. So I'm not completely clued up on the narrative and the step by step of how this happened, but just the vibe I'm getting is that she does not care about this man.
Yeah.
You're and such I a good valet.
That's like, that's like what she was saying kind of last season too, where it seemed very lukewarm. And like he wasn't really featured on the show last season, but was like referred to a lot. And I think it's probably good for their relationship that he's not on the show. But I'm also just like, you're not into this guy. Like, I think she's probably into the fact that he like drives a G-Wagon and like seemingly is like wealthy, which is great and cool. But and they look great together. They take amazing photos together. But
which is very important for Paige. She's all about that
extremely
aesthetic.
Extremely important.
And
yeah.
I feel like it's similar to Lindsay. I feel like she genuinely was into Perry and was just had the rose-tinted glasses on and was, you know, in the throes of love and a new relationship. And then, you know, the pandemic happened and they were forced together and they didn't have a good time. Later in the episode, she reveals that they nearly broke up twice and they actually didn't talk to each other for 2 entire weeks. And that just says it all, doesn't it? And
God, honestly, like COVID has fucked a lot of things up, obviously. But one thing that it's kind of made me happy about is like, I think I've been happy to have been single for all of the pandemic. Like, I think
100%.
Yeah, I think that it was like a really divine thing to have not had any love interests this entire time.
I couldn't have imagined it, you know, as Whoopi Goldberg said, I don't want someone in my house, you know, and especially not in a pandemic. So Paige hugs him goodbye. She says, okay, I love you. I just put, no, you don't. He doesn't even say hi to the cast, but I thought maybe that's more of the COVID production rules as opposed to him being just a dick who didn't even want to put his face through the door to say hi. So Paige says, I spent 3 months with Perry. I need a break. We get home footage of Paige filming herself in the mirror on the lawn. And then we see that Perry is holding it up for her. And he's like, do you want it up more?
I love every fashion blogger and like Instagram influencer. Behind every influencer there is a partner taking their photos and videos for them, and I feel like I would love to see the like curtains pulled back on that element of these relationships, because like usually these women, and it's usually like the female influencers have like a boyfriend or a partner who's like filming everything. And it's such a fascinating relationship dynamic to me.
I think that's a big part of what Paige is in this relationship for, is to have someone to take the photos, to angle the mirrors, to do this and that. And I feel like in that 2 weeks when they were broken up and not speaking to each other, I feel like she might have even been the one to instigate them getting back together, because she had these brands wanting her to put this content out, but she's like, I can't can't do it without Perry. So she's just being completely fake and got back together just for that reason alone, which, you know, it is what it is. But I completely think she doesn't care if this man lives or dies. I mean, maybe not that far, but, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm like, what will it take to see their relationship either take it to the next step or like fall through?
Oh, this doesn't have legs. I don't see this going anywhere. And, you know,
even if it's just like a plot point, like even if the producers are like, okay, like, what are you going to talk about this season? She's like, well, I could talk about like being on the fence about the whole Perry thing. Like, even if that's a production thing, it still is kind of like weird. Even if she had like a talk with him in their relationship and she's like, look, I love you a lot, but like, I'm going to go on the show and say that I like don't know if I want to be with you. There still has to be like some truth to that underneath. Like, I would not feel comfortable if I was dating someone and dropped them off at the summer house to film their show. And then they were like, I really don't know if like Lara's the one for me. Like, don't you ever question that? I'd be like, I hate this and we're breaking up.
I would, unless he's just a really... unless he's built differently from you and I, Lara, and he can put up with this because he does see this as her job and she's got to do what she's got to do. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a particularly great storyline, but if that's all she's got, then have at it. But in the preview, they try to make it look like she fucks Carl.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see them maybe like making out or something, but I feel like we've already been through like the Paige and Carl making out in the pantry and her really trying to decide if this is someone she wants to date or not. And I think Paige does have really high standards, which is why she's with a guy like Perry, who clearly, like, it seems like he kind of worships her, loves her, and like gives her a lot of respect and attention. So I don't think anything with Carl is really going to happen.
No, I think you're probably right. I think it's just a tease for us. But they're laying the foundations. You know, the first thing she says to Carl is, you look good and, you know, you're glowing. So that, you know, I see what they're doing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. So Lindsay and Hannah arrives at the house, and Lindsay gives her a very cold hello and then just like walks outside with Danielle. And it comes out that Lindsay threw a New Year's Eve party, didn't invite Hannah, but invited Luke, and then encouraged, according to Hannah, encouraged Danielle to hook up with Luke. And so Hannah's really pissed.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. Lindsay later on completely denies that this happened. So Hannah is just, she doesn't know what she's done to deserve this treatment. And just, I laughed so hard when it was revealed what the reason was why Lindsay was giving her the cold shoulder. It's because of this podcast.
It was so good.
Right?
Because of a podcast,
because,
yeah.
Like she... It was just so funny and so petty and so Lindsay.
Well, you just don't do that to Lindsay. And like, I love these meta moments when like real life things that happen off the show get like talked about on the show, because I do think that's like a real thing that would cause drama between people. And like Hannah, like you realize watching this episode and like continuing to watch in the season that like Luke and Hannah's feelings for Luke are at the center of all the drama that she has with anyone. Like he has taken over her life and her headspace in a very damaging way, I think. And she's like given him, like she's essentially like given her power away to him. And it's hard to watch because like last season, I was like loving watching Hannah flirt with Luke and like kind of tease him and string him along. And I interpreted her behavior and actions as like really confident, and like I was like, I'm inspired by this like confident, flirty, sexy woman. And then this season, it feels like the total 180 of that. And that she's like obsessed with him. It's like her thoughts are all about him. And then any conflict that arises is because of her feelings about him. And it's just like, it's sad to watch the tables turn in that way.
I love that you were inspired by Hannah Berner and like you admired her, but and I don't want to take away from that, but I would argue, just to play devil's advocate in the devil's house, yes. I would argue that she's always been this way and she was playing the cool girl. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, I through the screen, my interpretation of Hannah Berner is that she is insecure and needy, and then she is, but she's the funny girl and she doesn't care. I don't know. I feel, you know, we all know what the cool girl is. I don't need to explain this, you know, go and watch Gone Girl. But yeah, you could be right though.
I'm with you. Like the ruse, you realize now watching, or I realize at least watching this season, that it was like a ruse or an act that was being put on. And then now kind of the true, like, nature, the darkness, the cracks are showing in a huge way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I'm like, oh, damn. Like, here we go.
But yeah, all Hannah talks about is Luke, or at least it's edited that mm-hmm. way. Every single conversation that she has on camera is about Luke. And it's sad to see, because I know what you mean, because she is a strong woman. You know, she can be, and it's just, yeah, I don't know. But this whole situation of she keeps saying she's been alone with her parents and her five cats, and she hasn't had any human interaction. And I just feel like it's a melting pot and a recipe for this kind of breakdown, and she does end up breaking down in the coming episodes. And yeah, he's really messed with her. And no, I don't like to see a man reducing a woman to this.
Yeah, and I don't like seeing a woman like allowing themselves to get reduced to that. And I know, like, I mean, I've been there too, where it's like you get obsessed with someone and you're like in this weird, like, you're in a weird space where you're talking and things are intimate, but you're not together. But like, for me, I have about a bandwidth of maybe a month of that kind of like dating thing. And then it's like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm not gonna, like, letting it drag on for 7 to 9 months or however long it's been. It's like, you've got to call it, girl. Like, if it's not, you don't just like, you're not dating someone if you can't say whether or not you're dating someone and it's been 6+ months or even really 3+ months.
And lest we forget, they haven't even had sex. And Hannah says, so you know, I'm sorry, it's not my fault he has intimacy issues. Sorry, but if I don't know if it's generalization, but if a man wants to have sex with you, he would have had sex with you by now.
Yeah, that's one thing we know for sure. And so Luke gets called by the whole house when they're trying to decide on rooms and says he won't be there anytime soon because he's not feeling so good. And then like in a weird way mentions like he's bringing a friend, but like doesn't say her name. And I can't tell if like he's being edited shadily or if like he really is this shady of a person.
See, I didn't know when I first watched it was that because the production had told him to keep this friend's identity shrouded in mystery so they could do the big reveal later where he turns up with this beautiful woman, Sierra. But they all know that she's been cast. They all know who signed the contracts for the show. And Danielle, I don't know whether she hasn't, because Danielle seems to me, Danielle, we've got to talk about Danielle.
Love Danielle.
Do you love Danielle?
I mean, she's just always been there. So now I expect her to be there and I feel comforted by her presence. But she really is a go girl, give us nothing kind of energy. Like, she doesn't further any plot lines. She has good like facial reactions. But like, I appreciate her just being there. Like, I'm not mad at it.
100%. And honestly, there's nothing. She's living her best life. She's on a schedule. She's got this job. She's gorgeous. But I don't know. But she seems like she's just on the outs, but she doesn't really care. You know, she's laughing. She's getting paid to do this. And so I don't know whether she wasn't briefed by production or she just didn't care. And she thought, this is my moment to like throw a spanner in the books. But she goes, oh, it's Sierra, right? On the phone. And then, you know, that causes, I've called them, I don't know whether this is West Hamptons they're in, I call them the witches of Weeham. You know, Amanda, Paige and Hannah. That causes them to scatter and talk about that Luke's been spending time with Sierra. So, yeah, but they're getting tested, right? Because Luke's got a temperature or something.
Luke's got a temperature. He has like an ear infection or something's going on and everyone's unclear on whether or not he has COVID. But then he's like with Sierra, who we then find out is like the most beautiful woman in the world. And then also like an aunt, like a traveling nurse who's been like helping people during COVID. So it literally is just like game's fucking over. Like if a guy brings a supermodel into the house and he's been like kind of shacked up with her and they've hooked up before, he's obviously into her, and I would just be throwing in the towel at that point. I'd be like, all right, like, love this, and like, how can I help you two find love with each other? Like, I wouldn't even fight it anymore.
Yeah, but Hannah is not one to go down without a fight, but she does tell the girls that I promise you they've hooked up. I promise you. And
but it's so weird, like, so she's maintaining that she's been talking to Luke every day for 7 months, and he's never told her that he even had a friend named Sierra or like was like with someone named Sierra. Like, she's never heard of Sierra in the entire time that they've been talking.
Which, if that's true, you know, Luke is a piece of shit.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, the more I watch, the more it seems like Hannah has had like a blown out of proportion idea of what this relationship truly was. And like, Luke didn't do much to kind of set her straight. Like, I think he likes the attention and like likes having like a fun, pretty girl to talk to whenever he feels like it. But like, I'm just confused at Hannah's like confusion about what this really was.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to suck. And she, that's later. We'll get to that. But I said that Amanda and Paige are like the Greek chorus, because Amanda is shocked because Hannah goes, it's become clearer and clearer that I don't think I can date him. And Amanda is like, we're still considering it. Like, what the fuck? So these are friends that are trying to have been all this time and all probably all through last season have been steering her away from him. And, but she's still under his spell, and it's sad to see, but, I do empathize with Amanda, who's probably getting irritated at this point. And even Paige is like, this woman is, it's like if Naomi Campbell and Mother Teresa had a baby, and here in walks Sierra. So I was kind of like, Paige, whose side are you on? But
I know Paige seems to be like having like a turncoat moment, but I'm like, I'm into it. I love, and that's something I love about the show too, is that they kind of all freely talk shit about each other and like they won't mince words. So that's an important element. But yeah, I'm like, I don't understand like how Hannah could even still be questioning at this point if a guy, if you know even a guy's just been hanging out with a girl and he's coming, it's like there, you don't want to date him because he clearly doesn't want to date you, otherwise he wouldn't be bringing a beautiful woman to this house.
It's sad. It's so, yeah, I don't want to say that she's deluded and it's all in her head, because that's almost sides you with the gaslighter, you know, and it's Luke definitely had some part to play in and knows that if he doesn't know what he's doing, I think that's called a sociopath. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, that's my stance.
Carl says he hasn't been drinking, which is good. He admits that he used alcohol as a therapist and he was having a hard time getting over his parents' divorce. And like, I'm happy for him. I feel like being in the summer house for 6 weeks and as like a newly sober-ish person or sober curious person would be a very hard endeavor. But looking forward to seeing how he handles himself.
I love the phrase sober curious. And it's so true, because he's not saying that he hasn't said, I am an alcoholic. And he does say later on in the episodes, I have a few sips here and there. But he's still very aware of that urge and that need to just get drunk, get blackout, because he doesn't want to confront all these emotions about his not to diminish it, but I don't know, he's a fully grown adult, and like my parents got divorced, and maybe it's just me, like I did, that wouldn't affect me that much. So I think a lot of it is more to do with, as we know, it's very tragic, to do with the brother. And
yeah, I think there are a lot of like family dynamics or just like darkness kind of coming to the surface, and that's always been part of the allure for me with Carl, is because he does seem kind of like one of those damaged guys that presents as like kind of hot or confident or this like player type, but then you as a woman would hope that like you meet him and like he confides in you, and like then he like works out his demons, or like you could help him somehow. And I think that that's never true. Like they have to just like do it themselves. But it seems like he's making like baby steps in some sort of more positive, healthy direction.
Yeah. And he's definitely getting the edit. This is his redemption season. And he seems like he's this reformed fuckboy. And as I say, it gets tragic, it gets sad for Carl. So I can't really say much about him. I've always thought, you know, before this season, he's just a douchebag. I never even thought he was that hot. It's just a case of taste. But I can see that how he could be charming. And yeah, you're right. It's the age old story of I can fix him.
Mm-hmm. Or if he just met me, like we could have a talk and things would be different. But yeah. You should, if you ever think that about someone, you need to like really just stop and check in with yourself and then tell yourself the truth, which is that's not going to happen. We find out that Danielle kissed Luke, and he said that he was still into his girlfriend. Like he kissed her back for a second and then pulled away. And then he was like, I'm into my ex-girlfriend, or I have complicated feelings and like, I can't do this. So that's like the extent of Danielle and Luke's hookup.
The extent of Danielle's entire storyline for the whole season. Apart from her and her, what is it? A fake bulldog called Charlie?
Yeah, I don't understand the chart. I was like, oh, this guy is still here, who I guess has been around in past seasons too. Like, is her talisman in a way that she brings to the house of the devil to protect her? Maybe this is like her protective thing where she's not going to get sucked in to the house's dark machinations because she has Charlie there to provide like the barrier between her and hell.
I did like how Danielle just didn't really care. I don't know. She's like, yeah, I kissed. Who is it she kissed? Carl. Luke.
Luke.
All these fuck boys. Yeah, I kissed Luke. Yeah, she does say it was, what did she say? It was humiliating. That she basically went in to kiss him, and he kissed her for a couple of seconds, but then she was ultimately rejected. Bless Danielle.
Yeah, and she's just like, okay, I guess I'm gonna move on, which is what
because
you should do
smart
in that situation.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like a pretty well-adjusted woman, and like I love them all having to like go to bed. Like they go to bed early, they're cleaning up the house, and then this is a weeknight, and we see them like get up the next morning all at 7:30. And I don't know why, but I'm obsessed with watching them like work. I feel like it's like, I guess maybe because I don't have a typical job, like like a weekly schedule, like a 9-to-5. And so seeing them like on their Zoom calls and like seeing Carl deal with Mario and like Lindsay being like, what is the quote for Food and Dining Magazine? Like, I crave that.
So good. Lindsay was fully activated, as she says, at 7:30 a.m. We get that the cooker is broken. The stove is broken, which is another little chaotic thing. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a producer sort of snipping the wires behind just to add in some chaos there. And they have to use a toaster.
True.
Oven.
I'm really invested in the storyline of the stove.
Me too.
like, even when the guy, like, in future episodes, like, comes to try and fix it, like, I'm just, like, I'm really into this stove being broken as, like, a thing. Like, this is my new puppy gate, where, like, some people, like, really didn't care for puppy gate, and I was riveted the entire time.
Love that for you. But, yeah, they're all, but I do have a point that, so they moved their entire office to the Hamptons. That's why they wanted the biggest bedroom. But then Kyle is still working at the kitchen table. So I thought, you know, at least go and utilize this massive room that you've said you need for office space.
Yeah. And like all your stuff, like your merch boxes and all the like Loverboy boxes are out in the public, like shared space.
Yeah. So. And you know what? Friends supporting friends. They've all every shot, they've always got a can of Loverboy in their hands. So I don't know whether they've all got shares in it. Like maybe he gifted them some shares or they're all just in on this. But I do enjoy seeing that.
Yeah, I like how supportive they are. I've said never tried a Loverboy. I'm not one for like a canned flavored beverage of that sort. Like they just don't do it for me, but I love their love for it. And I was sad to have missed out on like the Loverboy merch because there was a shirt that I was wanting to buy. I didn't pull the trigger in time.
Oh, no.
I love Hannah and Paige watching them work as opposed to the other ones, because it's like everyone's talking about data and like activating phone calls and getting quotes, and then it cuts to Hannah and Paige at 11 a.m. in bed just like on their phones.
Me.
And as like as a podcaster with a non-traditional schedule, I appreciate the representation that I'm seeing of our kind on
me
TV.
Too as a furloughed flight attendant, me too.
The girls are hanging out by the pool and we get a little more insight into Paige's relationship with Perry. And she's asking if like Amanda ever doubted her relationship with Kyle or doubted that Kyle was the one for her. And we find out that Amanda never doubted that Kyle was her perfect fit. And I love that for them.
I love that. You know what? Maybe they are soulmates. I mean,
I kind of think that like if they're, because I have watched some of season one, I'm like now going back and like continuing because I want to watch seasons one and two because in full because I never watched them when they were on. But like there's something about Kyle and Amanda, and I think it's like that specific kind of couple that has such a rocky road to like getting the relationship started back up that becomes a huge part of their love story in a way. And like there's some couples that's like their love language with each other, this like will they or won't they and like fighting all the time. But I don't think in the same like I don't think that's the case necessarily with like someone like Katie and Tom, you know, or like, but I feel like maybe with Stassi and Jax that could have been, if they had had their shit together more, if Jax had had his shit together more and wasn't like a total psycho, like that could have been their trajectory as well.
There's always a spark with Stassi and Jax that will never, ever go out. As you can see, it leaps off the screen whenever they're in a scene together. And
Kyle and Amanda don't have the spark, but they do have that magnetic pull to each other. And like, they've had to like reconcile that, but that becomes part of like, it's like its own relationship within their relationship. 100%. So I just believe in them.
Unless we forget an extremely lucrative business venture.
So there's that too.
Can I just say that Paige says that, what Amanda says, not having to go into the office is like life-changing. Paige, completely unrelated to what Amanda just said. Well, because I know you love cheese. There's a cheese shop that we need to go to in Amagansett. And Amanda just goes, soft cheese is my jam. Paige says, some of mine and Perry's biggest fights have been over cheese because I'm allergic to it. And then Paige says, I could picture myself marrying Perry, but she doesn't think she's ready because she still wants to see the world, do stuff and tick things off her bucket list before she sees it as being chained to Perry for the rest of her life.
Yeah, and does he need to have kids right away? He must be pretty a lot older than she is. Is he like in his 30s or like late 30s?
Way I know nothing about Perry, because I guess I didn't watch last season, so I don't know what he does for a living. I don't know how old he is. I've literally just seen this clip of her dropping him dropping her off at
the
summer
house. He's a mystery.
He's an enigma.
The mysteries of Perry.
Yeah. Wrapped in a riddle and
yeah, like
cheese.
I guess maybe he's older and she feels like if they get married she's gonna have to like push out babies right away or something, right. But I'm also like, you seem to travel a lot together, like there's photo, like you seem to have a pretty good life together, so
I don't think Paige is gonna have kids until she's in her 40s. She seems, I don't know if you see this, but I made an observation, she said something sort of like quippy and I thought, but it was like chilled, and I thought she is Bethany Frankel on Xanax. Do you get that vibe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
totally. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff that she does, like I think it was like when she's talking about Hannah and Luke and she's sipping her rosé and she's like, I can't, and I'm like, I had a Bethany spark. Hannah gets FaceTimed by Luke. She's never been happier to have his attention, and then like leaps up to take the FaceTime. And this was when it was like very apparent to me that she's completely given him all of her power. Maybe Luke, if your theory is this is the devil's house, my theory is that Luke is the devil. He has that bearded, like he looks like he could be like part, like have hooves. You know what I mean?
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously? The witch.
Yes, the witch vibes. So everyone, Luke says he's going to be there later. He has a friend coming, Sierra, and like Hannah, you can tell, is like somewhat devastated by that, but really doesn't know true devastation until supermodel slash nurse Sierra walks through the door. Everyone has gotten toaster ovens to make pizza. Carl is talking about learning how to manage wanting to get drunk, to which I say good luck. And then Lindsay and Hannah go downstairs to the entryway to talk out their drama. And I was glad to see them like figure it out or whatever.
Yeah.
They really activate each other.
They do. I feel like there is a genuine friendship there somewhere, and just trying to get to it. Yeah, they go to a nook, don't they, to talk it out one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Hannah and Lindsay chat in a corner. We didn't have a great winter, but I do want to have a good summer. Hannah, I have said that Lindsay can be scary. Lindsay, but what's scarier, Hannah, me being direct or you talking shit about someone? Hannah, you were a bitch to me. And so basically, yeah, Lindsay didn't like that Hannah called her a minion on a podcast. No, she said she was treating Hannah like a minion, and that really upset Lindsay. I just can't see anyone not being on Lindsay's side with this. And I think that possibly something else might have happened that we're not privy to.
Yeah, I think they probably just don't like each other all that much. Like Lindsay probably is annoyed by Hannah. Hannah is much younger, and I think it was like a smart casting decision to take a bunch of like 24-year-olds and put them in a house with a bunch of 34-year-olds, because it's like it's obviously just going to create that natural tension, which has been fun to watch. But yeah, I mean, I was team Lindsay in this argument. I'm like, don't go talk shit about me. And like, you're not with this person. Who cares? Who cares who he makes out with?
Yeah. She says that she wasn't meddling with that. No, I don't think she was, because even Danielle says that she had a crush on Luke. So of course, you know, after a few drinks at a New Year's Eve party, she ended up making up with him. That was nothing to do with Lindsay. I completely agree with that. But Lindsay says, Hannah apologizes and wants to start over, but jokes, but I'm going to talk more shit about you. And Lindsay does not find it funny. Lindsay says, so just add that to the folder I have. Make no mistake, Lindsay has a literal folder.
Yeah. 100%. If she has a timeline for life, she also has a timeline of who's talked shit and when. And
yeah, but yeah, I
would not want to be on Lindsay's shit list.
But I did just say I think they're real friends, but I've switched. I think they're colleagues, they're co-workers in this reality show that they do. And yeah, so they're just bearing with each other, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there will be more headbutting between them, is my thought this season.
Bring it.
Luke then arrives with Sierra, and Sierra is a model slash nurse from Atlanta who's been working in critical care. It's literally the kind of thing where, like, everything this person says about themselves, if I was Hannah, it would just be like I would melt further and further into the floor to where then I just, like, give up entirely. And, like, her approach to the Luke and Sierra of it all is to go above and beyond, like, welcoming Sierra into the house and, like, being, like, overly nice to her. And I was like, oh man, like, she doesn't have, I always thought of her of having, like, more self-awareness than that, or, like, at least a better way to, like, play it cool. But when you're playing it so cool, you're then playing it absolutely hot, it's, like, not gonna work.
You would think, yeah, I like that, playing it so cool, you're then playing it hard. But yeah, so her
boiling
approach is to, yeah, is to get as close to the, what is it, make your enemy your friend. I'm so dumb.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
There we go. And so Hannah says to Sierra, wait, I have a question. Do you like cats? And again, Hannah has clearly done a full background check on this woman. Hannah has already seen these same photos that Sierra is showing her because she's hacked into the mainframe, probably even hired a private investigator, because you absolutely would. I mean, I would. I'd want to know, even if I wasn't Hannah, I was another castmate, I'd want to look up and see who this person I'm going to be sharing a house with
is. Oh my God, I'd be, having Googled her, gone through her entire Instagram, would have a history of, like, her entire, like, timeline from the last 10 years. Yes. And then it would already have the questions in my mind of, like, how I'm going to get to this person and, like, be their best friend.
That was just completely unsubtle to me. And I think, I hope Ciara just saw straight through that. But she played along with it. Oh, yeah, I've got a cat, Jasper. Here's my cat.
Yeah, but a lot of things are unsubtle. Like, when they are all sitting around, like, having, they're either having dinner or something, they're talking about themselves somewhat. And, like, they're like, tell us about yourself, Sierra. Like, what's the deal? And she's like, well, yeah, I was working, like, I'm from Atlanta. And then I was working as, like, a nurse in critical care. And then I got an assignment in Brooklyn, so I went there. And then Kyle, or someone, is, like, impressed. And they're like, you're a traveling nurse? And she's like, yeah, I mean, like, I did what it had to be done. And then you just hear Hannah go, well, thank you so much for your care. And I'm just like,
well, no, I have to say that Hannah actually says, no, thank you so much for sacrificing yourself. And I think that was, those words were chosen very carefully. She knows what she's doing. She's fucking with her. And when it, Sierra tells the women that she's 24, Hannah says, oh God, when I was 24, I was so annoying. It's just these catty digs. I see exactly what she's doing. And I think, come on, women supporting women, let's not do this.
Yeah, let's love. When I was 24, I was so annoying. Isn't she like 29 now?
Right.
You can't have a reflective moment on your 20s until you're, like, firmly out of them, is yeah. My rule that I think we should all just honor. It's very, like, she's reminding me a lot of, like, I just rewatched all of Girls, and she's giving me major, like, Hannah Horvath energy.
Oh my God, you're so right. You're so, and great mm-hmm. idea to rewatch Girls, by the way.
Oh my God, if anyone listening, I'm telling you, it's the best show to rewatch, and because it really is, should have been, it's very bingeable, and just, like, you can throw on, and the episodes are shorter, and then you really get, it's, like, so funny in the humor, but then you're also just, like, cringing. It has very, like, cringe elements that feel like watching, like, a Bravo show or whatever. It doesn't shy away from those. I just finished it over the weekend. It took me like a week to watch the whole thing, or maybe two. And it was a great revisit.
And I love me some Shoshana.
Oh, she's incredible. Yeah. It was a great to be back in their world again.
Yeah. I want Shosh. To get back in.
Yeah. So we find out the guys go sit by the fireplace and are all kind of like talking about sex, and they're peppering Luke with some questions about Sierra and trying to figure out what his deal is with her. And he admits that he's into her. And then Straffy is like, did anyone have sex during quarantine? And which leads me to believe that maybe he and Lindsay just like stopped having sex altogether. And then Kyle's like, this dick is the bomb. And so he's clearly, I don't think he and Amanda ever stop having sex. Like, I imagine them like hate fucking each other.
100%. Yeah, I think their sex life rages on.
Mm-hmm. And then the night ends with Luke texting both Hannah and Sierra at the same time. And we realize this is going to be like the love triangle of the season, though it really just feels more like a love line between Luke and Sierra, and then Hannah observing from the rafters.
Yeah, I think you're right. So Paige says to Hannah, guess he's just texted me. And then she says, the sparks are still there. Paige in confessional. Well, I hope Hannah's right. I just thought in that moment, there was something about that confessional that just said, I need Paige to be a housewife.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I could totally see her being
a
housewife.
I just don't think she even fits in the summer house. I think she's a housewife.
She's really glam in a way that is like housewife glam. Like, I loved seeing her get a U-Haul full of racks of clothing shipped to her and then carried down the stairs and setting up essentially like a fitting studio in their room. And that's when I, as if I were Hannah, I would have been like, rooming with this person is a huge mistake, because they're like, I'm now just in a studio and sleeping in a bed surrounded by someone else's shoes and clothes, which would
full
feel
Mary
a little...
Cosby.
Yeah, it's very Mary Cosby. And yeah, I'm into Hannah, or I'm into Paige, and I felt even inspired by, like, later on in the season, you see like the way that she takes photos of herself with her like selfie ring light setup.
The tennis ball.
And I was like, okay, work. She's out here. Yeah. She's Instagramming.
But I could see her thriving in the housewife franchise. The way we've seen Dorit thrive, and how now she's iconic and she does these photo shoots that make her late to the events, but we stan her for that. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can definitely see that in the future.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm into this house of the devil. I feel like they're all going to get sucked in their own way. I like that they're teasing us to believe that Lindsay and Luke hook up, which I can see absolutely happening.
But in the trailer, it even they sort of, I think, out themselves as that being a potential, you know, blue ball situation where nothing happens, because they even, it's just like a peck on the cheek and a hug. And that looks more like consoling, you know, like a friend has come to share something. So I just think
with also just invasive noises of like kissing and stuff.
Oh,
so
actually,
that's what,
yeah, that was the next part. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so, but I'm like, I love them just like piping in sex sounds wherever they feel like where they're appropriate.
I mean, we all remember last season with Hannah, and that wasn't even sex. That was Luke went down on her, didn't he? She did not hold back, which
I'm also like, I respect a lot, and I'm here for her like general horniness, but I'm also like, what are you waiting for? Like, I know there was a pandemic and stuff, so that really put like a pin in everyone's horniness, but I feel like if it was gonna happen with Luke, it would have happened by now.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, for talking about these summer house hell with me.
The pleasure is all mine. I've had a great time, and yeah, I can't believe I'm on SUP right now.
I'm blessed to have you. We're blessed. The world is blessed to have you on Instagram, just like keeping the laws alive. So you're doing the Lord's work. Never stop.
That's very kind. And I won't. I will not stop. So, yeah.
Tell everyone where they can follow you and find you if they don't know already.
All right, Instagram is JoeGunn90. I've got my spin-off, JoeGunn TV. That's where I put the Danielle Staub stuff. And Twitter is JoeGunn.
Oh, I love it. Well, love and light. And until next time, bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast, then net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.